Do you want the most stylish MMA apparel without paying ridiculous prices? Check out IntimidationClothing.com for great original styles of t-shirts, hoodies, and more. IntimidationClothing.com features affordable, premium quality products for men and women. Intimidation is one of the fastest growing MMA apparel companies in the world. Log on today at IntimidationClothing.com. Be the intimidator. Intimidation Clothing.
We're not Zuffa zombies. We're Cage Zombies. You're listening to Cage Zombies Radio with Matthew Gaithier and Spencer Kirksey.
Apply for SureDog.com. No brain activity is necessary. Ah, crap. I guess that means me and Spencer are out. I'll just keep working for MMA Madhouse and representing Cage Zombies Radio. So, thank you for joining us tonight in Zombie Nation. Spencer likes that.
Well, it's pretty good.
Welcome to Cage Zombies Radio. My name is Matthew. As always, with me is the coolest guy I know, Mr. Spencer Pablo Diablo Kirksey. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
Well, Matthew, you must not know a lot of people then, but nice introduction there. That's pretty funny. Matthew was on the conference call earlier today for World Series of Fighting 8, and SureDog didn't ask too many questions that pleased Matthew, and rightfully so.
Let me be honest, man. I have to imagine nobody else listening was too into that. I have to imagine I can't be the only person who's out there thinking, you know, that wasn't just a stupid question. I mean, so today, like Spencer said, I got to be on the conference call for World Series of Fighting 8 with, I'm sure, just tons and tons of other media. And, you know, with us was, we had Ray Seppo on the call, Ali, whose last name I probably couldn't even begin to pronounce, the matchmaker for World Series of Fighting, as well as the fighters from the three main fights of World Series of Fighting 8, which is next Saturday in Hollywood, Florida. I do believe that myself and Mr. London will be covering that event, so I'm looking forward to that. But, I just don't know what goes through their head, my friend. Like, you know, this is a conference call for World Series of Fighting 8, where we're talking about World Series of Fighting 8. And you should be asking questions about World Series of Fighting 8, about the fighters that are fighting on the fight card, asking Ray Seppo questions. Whatever it is, you should not be coming up with questions like, so Jessica Aguilar, why aren't you on The Ultimate Fighter or fighting for Invicta? Like, come on. Get your act together. Like, it's just not cool. Like, just the absolute no class, no respect. And I just, oh, man, I don't know. It frustrated me. That's all I have to say. It frustrated me.
Hey, it would frustrate anybody, like you said. Well, there's nothing we can do about it. We'll fight. We'll set up a fight between us and the guys from SureDog.
What's crazy is, like, two questions after that was another person from SureDog, and I don't remember exactly what they said, but it was just, I remember sitting there thinking it was just a stupid. I just don't know what they got going on over there at SureDog.com. But you know what? It doesn't matter. We're not SureDog. We don't have to deal with SureDog. And who cares? This is Cage Zombies Radio, and we like what we do here. So I had a couple of questions. You know, I didn't get a chance to. You know what's funny is I was working all day, and I actually scheduled my lunch break around the conference call so that I could be part of it. You know, I got an email a couple days ago from Danny, the media guy, the networking guy from World Series of Fighting. And so I worked out my lunch so that I could do the conference call. And I got to be there for about 35, 40 minutes of the conference call, but I would imagine that tons of people had already submitted their, had already chimed in for questions before I got the chance to. So I wasn't able to hear the entire conference call. I did have to get back to work, but I got to hear most of it. It was really cool. The fighters seemed excited. They each was, each of them were very appreciative for the World Series of Fighting, very, very thankful for the opportunity, thankful for their opponents. I know Justin Gaethje was very excited, you know, because he had two opponents bail out, and he's just happy to have an opponent ready to go. And it's gonna be a good fight. It's gonna be a good fight card, man. It's gonna be a really good fight card. You got Gaethje versus. I'm gonna have to say this wrong. I believe Patichnak going for the inaugural lightweight title. Jessica Aguilar versus. Oh my gosh, my freaking head, man.
Alida Gray.
There you go. Thank you, sir. For the inaugural strawweight UFC, World Series of Fighting title, Rumble Johnson versus Mike Kyle. That right there is probably going to bring the roof down on the building. So it's going to be a really good fight card, man. You got Luis Palomino fighting on the prelims there, another big fighter coming out of South Florida. So should be a very good fight card. I just love the fact that out of their last three events, World Series of Fighting is in Florida, two of them. So that's awesome. It shows you that they like what Florida brings, and hopefully that they'll be a regular down here in Florida, because a lot of the pro promotions kind of turn their backs to us. You know, Bellator comes through every once in a while, and they've been pretty good about that. The XFC always comes home. You know, there's talk, some rumor, could be a possibly seeing the XFC back here in Tampa in early 2014. Nothing for sure yet, but obviously as soon as that comes down the waiver wire, as soon as there's an official word out, you know who's going to have the first say on that one. So we know that if something happens, if that's going to be it, we'll be the first to let you guys know. So, but yeah, you know, UFC couldn't care less about Florida, and you know what? Screw them. Couldn't care less about UFC. So we got great promotions coming in here to do shows. We got great promotions already that stay here permanently, and we don't need the UFC. Florida's got enough going on. So we're joined. We haven't even got to our guest tonight. Just so fired up over these freaking goofballs from Sherdork. But
we're getting there.
Yeah, there we go. We're getting there. Tonight we got recently signed Dom O'Grady. Dom, I hate you so much, O'Grady. We're gonna definitely have to ask him about that. That's a pretty out there nickname. Definitely stands out. So I think it's pretty awesome myself. But so we're talking with Dom O'Grady, who just got signed by the XFC. We're talking with our boy Bobby Badmother Tucker, a regular here on the show, and he's got some big things coming up, a big main event fight down here in Tampa on March 1st against Gus D'Angelo for World Class Fight League 8. Just monster fight. It's going to be a huge, huge show. And then we're going to talk with Dennis Davidson, man. Dennis Davidson's been the matchmaker for the Max FC. Max FC is getting ready to make their debut here in Florida on February 1st out at the Ocean Center in Daytona Beach, Florida. So looking forward to that show. Looking forward to talking with Dennis. We talked with Alana Jones last week. She will be fighting on that fight card as well against Susie Monterio. And it's going to be a great night, man. Great night. We're talking a lot of great stuff. And we'll obviously be talking a lot of good things. I know that we're going to have, like I said, that fight with I'm drawing a blank. The Bobby Tucker, Gus D'Angelo fight. It's going to be the main event for World Class Fight League 8, 155-pound title. Big fan of both of these guys. Bobby, you know, we've had on the show here a few times here, and he's just a great dude, very entertaining, funny guy, awesome fighter in the cage. Gus D'Angelo, cannot say enough about Gus and the D'Angelo family. I love these guys. They're a great team, a great family, and there's some just phenomenal young fighters coming out of that school, being led by Michael and Gus. And we'll have Gus on maybe next week, the week after that. I'm going to talk with him. I'm going to talk with the D'Angelos and see when we can get him back on here. I love me some Gus D'Angelo. I love that whole family. It's some great people out there. We'll talk with him here in the next week or two. And I think we got Dom O'Grady ready to go, so I'm going to let Spencer go ahead and bring him in.
All righty. We are live with Dom. I hate you so much. O'Grady recently signed to the XFC. How are you doing tonight, Dom?
I am very good. How are you?
Doing great, man. Listen, first and foremost, where did the nickname come from and how did it stick?
It's everyone. I gotta like make like a presser or something so I can explain. I'm gonna summarize because it's kind of a long story. Basically, the summary is like this: when I fought, it wasn't as much of a sport. It's like it kind of started pre-Ultimate Fighter and all that. And when I couldn't fight in Michigan. There were no fights in Michigan. Now there's an amateur show every weekend, but at the time there was nothing here. You could not fight here. So I always had to fight out of state, and the promoter I fought for, who later became my manager, Monty Cox, he just seemed to like enjoy putting me against big, ripped up, muscle bound local heroes. I don't know why. I think he wanted me to get jumped in the parking lot. I'm not sure. But what happened with Shinaki, was a ring announcer a long time ago. Well, for a long time, he passed away a couple years ago. And I actually, the first time he ever called me that, because he did it, and I didn't know he did it, was at XFO in Chicago when Tapout was there. So it was a huge crowd, shoulder-to-shoulder, packed place. And my buddies, because we'd been talking about it, just like, it's just funny how I go here and everyone hates me and, you know, whatever. And they made a sign. They didn't show me the sign. They went to Kinko's or whatever and had a poster made, like this big, you know, I don't know where it is now, but this big poster that said, "I hate Dom O'Grady, boo this man." And when they walked out behind me, they held it up, and there's like this roaring boo of the crowd, and then Shinaki kind of keyed up on it and announced me as that coming out to the cage, and then I didn't actually hear it until I won, and he said it again, and I just kind of started laughing, and it was funny, and it just kind of stuck, and it stuck, and I want to always make it clear, it's to be read to me. I don't hate anybody, but I welcome being hated.
That's awesome, man. Well, listen, it definitely stands out, and I'm not surprised at all that people are always asking you that, because it's a pretty badass nickname, man. So it sticks out. It really it definitely brings attention, man. And that's cool to hear that it's all in fun, that you don't really hate anybody, because I'd hate for people to get that impression. But
and then what happened was when our gym closed, we became a very nomadic team. I train in other people's gyms. We've been doing it for years, and I'm probably going to keep it like that for a real long time, where we just kind of sublet other people's gyms. And I have like this ragtag group of guys. Basically, every time a gym closes, we always kind of pick up one or two guys, and they're usually like-minded. And we're kind of a group that's kind of accepted the fact that, you know, you don't have to like us, you don't have to cheer us, we don't really care. I like to fight, and we like to fight, and that's what we're here for. And I prefer that you hate me. I prefer that you have an opinion. So if you want to hate me, but you still pay money to come watch me fight, I kind of feel like I'm winning in the long run. So whether you came to see me get my ass kicked or kick ass, I don't really care. I just care that you came.
Right on, man. That's badass. Much respect for that. That's awesome. Now you're coming off a big win against Eric It's a Rap Reynolds at XFC 27, and with that win, you get signed by the XFC to a contract, man. How does that feel? And what was it like fighting Eric, who's, you know, quite the XFC veteran, and you come in and kind of make a big splash and a big name for yourself in that promotion right away?
You know, I used to really, I mean, I'm not saying I don't take it seriously, but I used to get really, like, for a while, especially when I was with King of the Cage, it became very, like, important to win. It became, you know, I needed to hold my titles and to stay on top. I needed there were guys gunning for me and all that, and there was a lot of pressure, and I kind of cracked. I mean, I had to take some time off and I had to take a break. Before this last fight, I took a break, and I was like, I was talking to my coach, and he's like, "Well, you need to stop and take some time off," because I mean, honestly, I've been competing since I was like 12. I mean, there was wrestling, and then after that it was judo, and after that it was sambo, and after that it was submission wrestling, and then after that it was boxing. Like, I've always been in a weight cutting, you know, managing sport, and after a while it does wear on you, and that's how guys get burnt out. So I took a break, and then he said, you know, when this fight came out, I said, "You know what?" And I watched him, and I was like, "Oh, it's a banger," you know. I'm like, "I'm going to go out there and just have fun. I don't really care what happens. I'm just going to go out there and do what I like to do and enjoy it, and it's not going to feel like a job, and it's not going to feel like..." That's why when I did my post fight, I was like, I wasn't, you know, talking about, you know, potential, you know, he's a title contender and what do you want? I don't care. I just want to go fight, man. I want to go have a good time. And, in a perfect world, I could go back to amateur where I could just fight when I felt like it and it didn't matter.
Right. All right, man. So what's training like up there in Michigan under these extreme temperatures? Like, do you do any type of outside training, or do you just kind of keep
hell
it in the gym?
Hell no, man. I ain't Rocky. What are you talking about, man? I would go run up and down in the snow. I hate the cold. So my dog won't even go outside in the cold, man. Forget that. And we just had this, like, blizzard thing, and it sucks up here, man. The thing is, and this is one of the few times, it's Floyd Mayweather Sr., and he was talking about, you know, where the best fighters in the world come from, and they come from the Midwest. They come from, you know, working class, you know, shit economy. Or can I swear? I don't know if I can swear on here. Huh?
You're good.
Oh, all right. Well, shit economy and shit weather, and you know, it's just gray and dark and miserable. And you know, I'm glad I picked an inside sport because this sucks.
Now you mentioned the whole weight thing, and now with you signing to the XFC,
okay.
Are you going to be sticking at lightweight, or are you going to be moving up to welterweight?
I didn't miss. Okay, here's if you look. Did you say missing the whole weight? Okay, number one, Reynolds is a guy that always comes in light. He always comes in like 153, 150, whatever. If you look at the weigh-ins, everyone came in heavy. We had a bathroom scale on carpet on some piece of plywood. It wasn't like a set scale. I weighed exactly what he weighed. Nobody missed weight. That was I'm not trying to like complain about it, but I don't want to be the weight missing guy. I got, you know, 10 years. I got, you know, 20 years in weight managing sports. And the only time I legitimately missed weight was when I went to Japan. That was just shitty planning. We didn't miss weight. He always comes in light.
Yeah, that was something we actually discussed on our show before the event. We were looking at the weights, and then we knew they had problems with weight at the event before that. So not a shot at you. Just wanted to know. I know you fought at welterweight before. I wanted to know if you planned on just sticking with lightweight or trying to bounce back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, I like bouncing back and forth. But I mean, I fought lightweight for King of the Cage. I fought lightweight for WFA. You know, I fought at lightweight for years. I've gone up. I fought all the way from. Technically, I guess light heavyweight, but a catch weight. I fought from 195 to 155 inside the same year. Weight's never been an issue with me. It's not a thing, you know. And especially this one. This one was actually one of the easier weight cuts I've made because I actually got really strict on my diet and by that I mean more strict than usual. I'm like, not even just calorie counting. I did, you know, I alternated vegetarian days and a lot of greens and. You know, and I really managed my weight well for this fight. Like, I went into my cut, like, well under what I usually start my cut from. So, I mean, I can, it's not something I can't do. It's well in the realm of something I can manage. But I would like to go up, too. I do like to fight at my natural weight. I walk around close, well, you know, walk around way heavier. But making 70 is easy. You know, I'll make 70 in my sleep, and that's a very comfortable weight, depending on, you know, it all depends. You know, I'll move towards wherever they want me. I'm very open to fighting in a wide range of weights, just depending on the opponent. You know, I don't care. I just, whatever gets me a fight, that's what I'll do.
Right, right. And at lightweight in the XFC, do you see yourself fighting Hot Sauce Holtzman next as a possible title shot?
Next, I don't know about next. I know that I've kind of been told how the running. Well, Kershane wins his next one, he's got first shot, which is good. He's a nice kid. I like him. I drove him back to his hotel after the fight. Really friendly, really cool, really likable guy. You know, he wins that, he gets Holtzman, which actually I would almost prefer because I, like I said when I talked to Militich, man, I'd like to just fight. I mean, I thought when I was with KOTC, I mean, I fought, training for a five-round fight is a lot different. It might not seem like that bad, like what's two more rounds, but it's a lot, man, and you know, and it really takes a toll, and it really, not so much going into the fight, but after, like my recovery time after getting ready for a 25-round fight is, or a 25-minute fight is hard, you know, and the longer you spend in there, the higher chance of injury, and just, you know, the more time you're in there with someone who's trying to take your head off, the more damage you take, and it's a harder recovery. I prefer to fight three-round fights, but I'm very accustomed to five-round fights, so I'm not saying it's not something I'll do or not something, but I'm really not even looking into that. I mean, right now, especially in this point of my life, my thing right now is that I like to fight. If they want me to fight a title fight, I will fight a title fight. If they want me to fight an undercard, I'll fight an undercard. I don't care. I just like to fight. I'll do what I'm told. It's so much work to tweak yourself to make weight and to have a 25-minute fight. That's a marathon.
Now, Dom, what's your outtake or opinion, I should say, while talking about like the kind of the stresses of cutting weight? On a lot of now, I see a lot of amateur guys, a lot of young guys, who will cut, you know, upwards of 30 pounds, you know, and not doing it really in the smartest way, doing it on just however way they can, and not really pacing themselves. What's your thoughts on young guys cutting so much weight to try and get the better advantage on opponents and stuff?
I think basically what you need to do is when you're an amateur, you need to fight at your natural weight. You need to find what you're good at. And then when you have your skill set kind of in place, then that's the time you start dropping. Like, that's really – I mean, because, you know, I fought amateur at 170. Well, actually, you know, when I started, I was 220-plus. I used to have to cut to make 205. So I was a fat kid. I got really big. You know, when I fought judo, and when I wrestled freestyle, I wrestled at 213 – and I fought judo at 220, you know, and I used to have to, like, manage that weight. Dropping down to 198 when I got my black belt was like, a big deal for me. I just don't think it's worth it. I don't think I'll cut as much weight as you want if you pay me for it, and I think that's – and it's not so much like a money or a greed thing. It's that it needs to be worth it for me to go through what I have to go through to make that weight. And I think as an amateur, are you kidding – sorry, my dog got his squeaky toy, now he's annoying me.
it's all good.
I don't know if you could hear that in the background. But, like, you know, that's like I tell my guys, like, you're an amateur. You know, we'll cut 5, we'll cut 10 if it's the right fight. But anything past that, I don't think you should do as an amateur. I just don't think it's worth it. And then, you know, when I fought, you know, when I was an amateur, I fought Ohio amateur, and you weighed in at noon the day of. So you can't cut that much weight because you'll be worthless that night.
Right.
So I don't really see the warrants in it. I know guys get super competitive as amateurs, but that's just because they haven't stepped up to the next level. It's like, you know, when you're an AMI and you fight for a belt, it's like the biggest thing ever. You know, you win that and then you go pro and you're back at the bottom of the, you know, you're back at the bottom of the ladder, and you realize that all that, you know, I don't want to say wasn't worth it, but, you know, why hurt yourself now when it doesn't count? You know, I mean, you get a reset when you turn pro. So, you know, if you're going to screw up, if you're going to, you know, if you're going to fight guys that are too big for you, do it now. You know, do it while you still have that reset button.
Right. Exactly right. I couldn't agree more. Now, banking off of that, what's your thoughts on for these amateur guys? Because I know, like you said, you got some amateur guys. What's your thoughts on, you know, the way they do weigh-ins now, where, you know, you weigh in, and they do it all across the sport, almost everywhere. You weigh in the day before, that way you can, you know, be 30 pounds less by the time you come out and fight the next day. You know, if you're fighting at 155, you're probably more like 170, 175. What's your thoughts on same-day weigh-ins to kind of cut that down and help prevent that and make people fight closer to their natural weight?
You know, as an amateur, I encourage it. I mean, only because, you know, boxing does the same thing, man. If you fight Golden Gloves, you weigh in, you know, there. I mean, it's not, I don't see it being intelligent. I think it's because they're only looking in the short term, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I'll cut weight, I'll be 20 pounds heavier than this dude, and I'll go smash him. But amateur is where you're supposed to learn. It's where you're supposed to, you know, try things, find things out, learn where your holes are, learn what you're good at, learn your methods. And I think when you start throwing that in there, because maybe there's guys that recover quick as amateurs, and, you know, they come in, you know, 20, 25, 30 pounds heavier than their opponent, and then they smash him. Well, what did you learn? All you learned is that because you're bigger and stronger than this guy, you can win. You know, the playing field's not really as even as it could or should be. You know, I do agree with Dave of weigh-ins. I do believe, and, you know, going back, when I was an amateur, when I first started, you know, we weighed in when you got to the venue. We weighed in at check-in. You weighed in at check-in, and they did matchups. We didn't really have weight classes. That's back when they only had light, middle, heavy. And so you just fought the guy that you weighed closest to. And I think that there's something to be said for that where you can, you know, it's even or as fair, theoretically, as a fight as you can get.
Right. Yeah, man, I could not agree anymore. Now, before we let you go, man, you're coming off this XFC win. Has the XFC contacted you with any possible fights? I know they haven't really announced official dates for 2014. There is some rumors that they could be having their first event of the year down here in Tampa, which is kind of what I'm hoping for. But have they contacted you about any possible fights, anything on the horizon?
Not about matchups or potential opponents. The only thing that I've been told so far is about, you know, kind of my timeline is kind of hinges on Chris Ames' performance.
Okay.
If he wins he's supposed to go to South America. They said if he wins there, then that gives him next title shot. So that would put me two fights behind him. So I would have to fight two and then get my chance. They said if he loses, then he might be my next fight after, or I might have one and then him.
Okay.
So I mean, it's just my – either way, I'm more than likely going to have a fight, like a non-title fight prior to – or a non-contender fight prior to. But if he wins, I'll probably have two. If he loses, I'll probably have one. That's about
okay. Cool, man. What
I've been told.
Right on, man. That's awesome. Well, listen, man, we want to thank you for joining us tonight. Congratulations on the recent signing with the XFC. The XFC is about to explode this year and just become massive, become huge. And just glad that they went out and you guys were able to get a deal together, man. Before we let you go, do you have any sponsors or shout-outs that you'd like to give? And also, where can people find you on social media?
Well, Lance Keller Tattoos. I always got to say that first because he does my ink. Detroit Bodybuilding Company, Victorious MMA out in Troy, and then my team, you know, Hate Squad, Mount Clemens Boxing. It's our current home. You know, all the guys on my team. I don't have a whole lot of clothing sponsors for no one to mention. You know, you guys can find me on Twitter. I'm everywhere. I'm very. I get bored, and I play on Twitter. Dom _ O'Grady, you know, Hate Squad MMA. Actually, we're revamping our website, so HateSquad.com should be up very soon with new, I don't know, video and cool-looking stuff. I'm not doing it. I'm dumb. I really appreciate the XFC and how they've treated me up until then. I mean, I've never really been treated as well by an organization as I have been in these last, few months, couple months. You know, had a new baby girl, Evelyn, so I got that taking my time. who else? I don't know. I'm fresh out of ideas. If I forgot you, my bad.
Right on, man. Well, listen, Dom, thank you very much for joining us, man. Best of luck to you. We'll be watching and following along. Look forward to see some great fights from you in early 2014.
Thank you.
All right, man. You have a great night, dude.
You too.
Was Dom, I Hate You So Much, O'Grady, joining us there. Very, very talkative guy, very well-spoken, man. Could not agree more with the stuff he was saying about, cutting weight, especially for amateurs and stuff, man. I think these guys push themselves way too much. They put their bodies through way too much, and I just don't get what the benefit is, man. I don't think that by cutting that much weight in the amateurs, they're preparing themselves for pros at all. I don't think that's doing anything good for them. I think that's just harming their body now, and I don't think it's going to change anything in the long run. So, I don't know, man. That's just me. What the hell do I know?
More than the people from Sure Dog, apparently. That's our theme tonight.
That is true. Hey, thanks, buddy. I appreciate that, man.
I'm just trying to boost your spirit after that conference call. But no, if you haven't seen Dom O'Grady fight, look up his last fight against Eric Reynolds. I don't think a lot of people thought that Reynolds would be the one submitting O'Grady, including myself.
Right, yeah.
Eric Reynolds fight several times. I had not a knock on Dom. Dom's a great fighter. I think he proved that yet again when he fought Reynolds. But go watch that fight. It's a good fight. I'm sure you could find it somewhere online, somewhere on the interwebs.
On the interwebs. Hey, listen, man, we got so caught up. Now, I do want to specify real quick about the conference call. It was awesome to be part of it. It's the first time that I've gotten to do that. And you know, like, me being this little MMA guy down here in Florida, nobody special, it was really cool to be included in that. It was cool, you know. I wish I could have got to ask a question. I kind of had something I wanted to ask Jessica Aguilar, and then actually she kind of answered that on her own. So I had a question or two I wanted to ask Ray Seppo, the president CEO of the company, but just didn't get the chance because there were so many people on the call. But it was awesome to be a part of it. I'm super excited for World Series of Fighting 8. I just, like I said earlier, I love the fact that they're coming back here. They're going to be here in Florida for two out of their last three events. It shows that they liked what they saw the first time. And they're hoping to see that same success, man. And they put on some really awesome Florida fighters and stuff on that card. So I'm excited to be there. I'm excited to the possibility of covering an event with my boy Jason London, man. I miss that dude. I miss that big sexy man, Mr. the Iceman. But listen, we got so caught up in all of that and laughing over Sure Dog's failure. We forgot to give shout-outs to our sponsors before the night started. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to give shout-outs to our sponsors. We'll be getting in with Mr. Bad Mother, Bobby Tucker, here in the next couple minutes. But real quick, just some shout outs to our sponsors. Let's roll their ads real quick, and then while I'm running the ads and shouting out to the sponsors, I think my co-host here will go ahead and get Bobby ready to go. So here we go.
Confidence, heart, and desire are all attributes athletes need to reach their potential. And at Draco Impact Sports, we want to help you achieve that potential. Draco offers you the highest quality training and protective gear suited for all level of athletes. We pride ourselves on the durability and comfort of our products, and once you try them on, you'll know exactly what everybody's talking about. When it matters the most, both in and out of the ring, you can always count on Draco. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Draco Sports for product information and contest giveaways. Or visit us online at www.dracosports.com. Draco Impact Sports. Dominate your world.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Right on, man. So thank you to those sponsors, Draco Impact Sports, Intimidation Clothing, and Jax Media Canada, as well as our great other sponsors, Game Changer Clothing, Crossroader Clothing, ProAmBelts.com, BrawlBase.com, and, of course, the great Gator MMA Fight Team in Port Richey, Florida. Want to give a special shout-out to GFL.TV, Go Fight Live. We love the relationship in Madhouse here. We have that with them. They're a great website. They're doing great things for MMA, and they're bringing MMA to you everywhere all the time, and we just thank you so much for the great things that they do over there, as well as all the other phenomenal sponsors here at MMAMadhouse.com. and our great team of sponsors that we have here at Cage Zombies Radio, as well as Valley Auction and AOL MMA out in Wesley Chapel, Florida. They got a big fight night coming up here in a couple weeks. We'll talk about that a little later. Right now, I think we're ready to go with Bobby Tucker, so I'm going to let Spencer go ahead and bring him in.
All right, we are live with Bobby Bad Mother Tucker. How are you doing tonight, Bobby?
I'm doing all right, man. How y'all doing?
Doing very good, Bobby. Listen, man, we love having you on here, and you know that. And Tampa, Florida loves seeing you fight, and people have been calling for it. People have been wanting to see Bobby come back to Tampa. And we found out this week that Bobby Bad Mother Tucker is coming back to Tampa March 1st. So let's talk a little bit about that, man. How are you feeling, and how are you feeling about that fight?
Oh, man, I'm feeling great at this point. I'm training harder than I've trained in a while. I'm more focused than I've been, and I'm fighting for 155, which I haven't done in a long time. And I think I'd be a pretty big dude at 155. I'm confident in this fight. I just consider this fight a test and see how my body performs at the weight class. I'm really not too worried.
Right on. Now, this is a huge fight. It's going to be main event for World Class Fight League 8 on March 1st in downtown Tampa, Florida, against Gus D'Angelo coming out of D'Angelo Mixed Martial Arts in Fort Myers. Tell me, what do you know about Gus? What do you know about D'Angelo Mixed Martial Arts?
I don't know a lot about Gus. I was told he was 6-1. MMA.com says 2-1, but we all know MMA.com could be wrong often. But I guess he's a pretty quick dude, tough little dude. Yeah, I'm excited about the fight. You know, he seems like a little firecracker, like a little pocket-sized bombshell.
Now, how are you feeling about coming back to Florida? You excited to come back down to Tampa? Last time it didn't end well. Things got a little intense in the Hilton. Things got a little out of hand in the crowd. But ultimately, the fight was great, and there was lots of respect shown by both fighters following that fight. So how are you feeling about coming back down here?
Oh, man, I thought it ended great. I never seen a bunch of dudes break an escalator, so that was pretty dope. I'm excited about coming back to Tampa because although, you know, I left Tampa kind of with a bad taste in my mouth just based on what happened, but from the feedback on Facebook, you know, the new friends I made, the new connects I made, I think that my trip to Tampa was one of my most beneficial in terms of the sport out of all of my roots of fight, so.
I mean, now, what have you been doing to keep yourself busy, man? Did you have a good holiday season?
My holiday season was pretty cool, man. Actually, before I tell you what I'm working on right now, I definitely got to shout out Dom O'Grady. We both ended up on this Tampa show at the same night. Dom O'Grady from Hate Squad. He probably don't even know who I am, but he'll know Stars and Strikes. That's my team I started with. I was supposed to fight Billy Hutchinson. That didn't happen because I got in a car accident. Y'all don't know who Billy Hutchinson is, but Dom will. I just love that we from Michigan who don't really have a good MMA, who don't really not a good MMA community. We have a great talented MMA community, but we don't have as popular or as strong of an MMA community can show out and really do something. So I definitely think that's dope. But in regards to your question, I think I've definitely been busy. Training, working, putting together this project. We got the Bobby Tucker documentary coming soon. The Wayne Spires don't even know that he named the project. The Wayne Spires actually said to me, he commented on the page. Oh, it was either Dwayne or Ralph. I can't remember because I know it was the WCFL page that posted it. But it said Bobby Tucker, love, hate it, but never ignore it. And that's something that we grabbed, and we were like, oh, that's dope. That scene is dope, especially for what we're doing with this project, because we want to explain what I want to do as a fighter, which is spread happiness, spread joy, and spread education amongst the masses. And I feel like, you know, popularity and fighting is my forum to be able to do that, to be able to speak to people. So it's really a project, you know, bred in productivity, you know, just and positivity. And it's gonna become real good, man. A good art movement.
Right on, man. Yeah, there's lots of good feedback and lots of people excited about seeing you come back and fight. You know, the fight with you and T-Murph was a lot of anticipation, a lot of hype built up to that fight. Probably one of the biggest hypes and most anticipations in Florida amateur history, and you guys delivered a great show. And it's just the fans are really in for a treat that Ralph and Dwayne, World Class Fight League, were able to get you back. And, you know, you've had a couple fights since then. You know, you had a – if I'm not mistaken, he had a tough decision loss, and then one or two submission victories, I think. How's that experience going to add, and what are we going to see differently from Bobby Tucker this time around?
I think the loss was the best thing that ever happened to me, you know, because it came at a perfect time. It came at a show that, you know, wasn't as big, didn't get as much attention. So it's not like, you know, I got a loss all the way on blast on YouTube everywhere, but I did get that loss, and I got that opportunity to learn from it and train and get better, stronger, faster. So the loss was great. And the other submission was great because that makes like three submission of the night victories in a row. I won that one by arm, boss, and mouth. And it's just, it makes me want to be like, okay. What other Fight Night awards can I get? I don't want Fight of the Night. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I definitely don't want Fight of the Night. I'd rather just hear somebody quick. But if I could get a knockout of the night, then that would be amazing. And I guess it wouldn't be far-fetched to say that that's my goal here for this next fight.
Right on, man. Now following this fight, have you started thinking – going pro, or you're not thinking about that now? You're just focusing on this. What do you got going on as far as like the pro prospects?
Pro prospects. This is what this is. This is my audition for the pros at 155. This is my test for myself to see how my body reacts to cutting 155 again. You know, I've gotten bigger, stronger, older since the last time I cut to 155. The last time I cut to 155, it was a scary cut. But I feel like I'm more educated on the nutrition process to be able to diet properly to get to a cutting point. And then the hydration, dehydration, and rehydration process that I've educated myself in will take place. And I should be able to make a healthy cut to 155 and be bigger, stronger, better, faster than the average 155er, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what this is. It's my audition for the pros. And after that, hopefully, we were talking with Nate Shook of the XFE about getting me on one of those shows in April. So we'll just see where it goes from there.
Right on, man. Now what's the plans as far as, like how are you going to handle – I don't know if we've had you on a few times before. I don't know if I've asked you this before, but – What's your fight camp like? Do you do a traditional fight camp? Do you kind of relax the last week? Kind of talk us through what the let's say, you know, you're about seven weeks out from the fight right now. What's the last month before the fight look like for you as training wise?
You know, I'm an American. You know, like when I say that, it's like, you know, it sounds like a cop out. Like, to automatically answer, I'm an American. Leave me alone. Like, no, but I mean, like, when I say I'm an American, I mean, I'm the average American. I don't have the ability to twist my schedule around for the sake of what I would like to be a real career. You know, I can't give up, you know, actual money for potential money, which makes it difficult for me to make a set scheduled training camp plan. But I do definitely pick up my train harder. I cut the weights out to make my cut easier, but I make sure that I do, you know, lift consistently up to that point. I don't think enough fighters lift because they're scared it's going to ruin their flexibility or hurt their weight cut. So I do lift consistently up until you know, last 4 weeks or so. Come off of that, I'm not allowed to engage in certain physical activities 4 weeks out based on testosterone storage. And to be honest with you, I don't know how true that is, and I get salty about it, but, you know, it is what it is. I And then really most of it is just making sure I work on the cardio conditioning process until I get close up onto the weight cut process, which is a time consuming process in and of itself, because I got to figure out how to schedule my time, my sauna time and my workout time, and still find a way to manage my energy levels to perform well at work up until it's time to make the weight. You know, I mean, especially when you got the first 15 pounds is easy. Then the last 7, 8 pounds is wearing on you, you know. So it definitely makes it a struggle.
Right on. Now you got a little something special going on right now. You got explain it to me. But the way I understand it is there's a bit of a documentary being made about you. You got like a film crew kind of watching you and kind of seeing what Bad Mother's all about. How did that come about, and how's that been going?
What I love about this film is, it's actually my high school, my college roommate from the year I actually went to college contacted me 5 years later. And said to me, man, I got this production company I'm starting. I want to make a movie. I want to tell you a story. You know, and I didn't have a story when I knew him, you know, but I guess he just kind of paid attention, followed what I did on Facebook and was, you know, made a smart business move in making that time to invest in me. He came down here with his boys, my man, Kenneth, you know, pros. And we just basically are coming down here and what's ahead of this project. We're basically just trying to make something happen as far as, you know, telling the story of a fighter, what goes into it, what is a fighter's motivation. And then eventually through time spent with each other, I found out what I really want out of fighting, which is to get a public forum to tell people the truth, to speak to people, to hopefully build a new renaissance through education and positive thought and positive and just bringing a positive word to people and basically encouragement. You know, I don't want to sound like a hippie, but at the same time, I do want revolution. I do want people to stand for something, people to live a life of purpose. And I think that's the message I want to spread, and I want to use fighting as my public forum to do that, the opportunities that I get to speak from fighting to do that. And I think that's what we're showing with the movie. There's a lot into it, some intricate stuff, some pretty deep stuff, some information from positive people that you probably never would talk to in person. I mean, it's definitely an interesting project, and there's drama in it, there's fighting in it, so it's definitely, you know, some love scenes, you know. we really got a project going. We really got something to it, so we're really going to make something out of it.
Now, when it's all finished, when it's all said and done, how is it going to be released? How can people find it and watch it?
At the end of the day, when it's all released, what YouTube channel can I go to check this stuff out, the trailers and stuff leading up to the project? Come on, give me some quick. Young Cam 101, Young K-A-M 101. And that is going to be on YouTube. And you can watch all the information following leading up to it. As far as the forum, we finally released it all. We're still in talks. This is so early. It's such early stages that there's a lot of information is still confidential. Because, you don't want to make empty promises. But at the same time, we can definitely say that as of right now, it's looking like this project's going to be something big. This movie is going to be something for real. So just stay tuned for it. And then, I'll see you the more opportunities you give me to talk, the more we can hear about it, huh? And we keep it going from there.
Right on, man. Make sure you message that YouTube channel to me, and we'll get it posted up on the Facebook page, and we'll spread it out and kind of share it so people can check out this documentary about you as well as the other work that your buddy does. So, one last thing, man. What if you could say one thing about the upcoming fight at WCFL 8, March 1st? If you could say one thing to Gus D'Angelo, what would you want to say?
Augustus, whatever how you pronounce it. I support your career. I support you as a person. I think I've heard you speak in interviews, and I think that you you know, you take the sport the same way. You train hard, you work hard, you think about it. I mean, it's real to you. It's not just you trying to be tough. You don't seem like a tough guy because I'm not a tough guy. If you're going out there as a fighter and proving your talent as a fighter, so I respect that.
Right on, man.
I don't care if you bleed, but I don't care if you bleed. And if I have to cause that to make sure that my career stays straight, I'm going to do what I have to do. So just understand, I'm going to try to run through your head. I'm going to bless you. So that's all it is at this point.
Right on, man. Listen, Bobby, it's always a pleasure to have you on, dude. You're always welcome back here. Before we let you go, man, you got any shout-outs, any sponsors that you'd like to say thanks to, man? You feel free to do it, as well as where people can find you on social media.
SplitlipFightwear.com. Go, really, so you find them at your local gas station. Battleground MMA. I also want to thank Pete Snyder and his team for the opportunity that I was recently given to train at his camp. That's a traveling school, you know, real, real cool people out there. I want to thank, you know, my people with this documentary, Denzel Smith, and then his boys that came out here, my family at home that supports me, my mother, my girl Cassandra, and basically everyone who has been a part of the good herb, the positivity in my life. And I just, you know, Bunny Livingston, man, crazy musician ever. Basically, just everything that good herb is, everything that this positivity is, I just want to shout out to. So thank you to everyone who's contributed to that.
Right on, man. Listen, dude, thanks again for joining us, bro. Big fan, man. We've followed along, and of course, I will be sitting cage side. I will be calling that fight, actually. I will be commentating for your fight March 1st, WCFLA here in Tampa, Florida, man. Looking forward to seeing you, man. Take care, and we'll see you down here in about a month or so. All right, man?
Wait, Matt. I need you to, when you're commentating for the event, when you're commentating for the fight, when I drop them, knock them out, and win the fight, and I'm looking in the camera, I need you to go, "That's good herb." Say it just like that when it happens so that we get it for the video. I want to hear you practice it right now. Yo, that's good herb.
Say it again. That's good what?
That's good herb. H-E-R-B. That's good herb.
That's good herb.
There we go. That's it, man. This is going to
right
be so good, man. I'm excited about this, bro. I appreciate the opportunity again, man. See you later.
Hey, not a problem, dude. Take it easy, Bobby.
Right.
That's Bobby Bad Mother Tucker. I don't even know where to begin, man. I love that dude. He's so awesome, dude. Like I caught most of what he said. It was a little bit where it was kind of mumbled. I just think that I think possibly the volume on his end was a little loud, but was able to catch most of what he says. He's just a great dude, well-spoken dude. You know, there was a lot of heat between him and Tony before that fight, and really all it was hype, man, just trying to hype up a good fight. You know, nobody in the area really knew who he was. Down here, he's just trying to hype up a fight back then. He's a good dude. He's a great dude. He's got lots of respect for everybody, it seems, and he shows that all the time. And this is going to be just a phenomenal, phenomenal fight at WCFL 8 March 1st. We will have tons of coverage for that fight leading up to the event. We'll be talking with Ralph and Dwayne, the owners, the matchmakers. We'll be talking with many of the fighters from that fight card. Nobody, and I can guarantee you, nobody has the firsthand better coverage of World Class Fight League than us here at MMA Madhouse and Cage Zombies Radio. So you can guarantee you'll be hearing a lot about that event, a lot from the fighters on that card, as well as from the promoters. So just love it, man. You know, I cover a lot of fights, Spencer, and I know you know you cover a decent amount of fights up there. You know, whenever you can, and I see a lot of great shows. I see a lot of great fights. I'll be at a fight this weekend. We'll talk about that later on the show. I cover a lot of events. I got a lot of good relationships with a lot of the promoters here in the state. And all I really do is try to go out and give them the proper coverage, give them exposure, let people know about the events, let people know about the fighters, and obviously make sure that the results are posted. But I
I don't know that I have. I think I have to say that the World Class Fight League is my favorite show to be at. I've been at all of their events thus far, and have the intentions of being at all of their events from here on out. As unless life situations come up that I can't in the future, I plan on being at all of their shows. They're just great guys, Ralph and Dwayne. Love being a part of that show. Looking forward to I haven't gotten 100% confirmation, but I'm pretty sure that they're going to let me commentate for the fights. Maybe not all of them, but some of them. We'll see. Maybe I'll go down to World Class Martial Arts and I'll sweep up his gym for a few weeks or something, so he can put me on commentating again. But I had the time of my life commentating at the last event, and I just can't wait for this event, man. It's shaping up to be one hell of a great event, and they're doing great things, and that's why they were recognized in a couple weeks back at the MMA Awards as the best amateur promotion of the year. So there's a lot of great shows here in Florida, but I got to say, man, World Class Fight League just has the edge on almost everybody else. So looking forward to that show. Looking forward.
You got to make sure you do get that commentary spot so you don't fail Bobby at saying that line for him.
I just tell him, I'll be like, yo, listen, Ralph Dwayne, your main event guy wants me commentating. He's specifically asked for me. I don't know, man. I'm just looking forward to it. You know, that's no disrespect to the other shows that I cover and that I help out with the coverage of, because they're all great shows. We got a lot of great events here in Florida. I think we have the best MMA in the country. I really do. We've got tons of great shows, tons of great promotion, and I'm just looking forward to the next 2 months of my life, man. It's gonna be. Going to be show after show for the next 2 months, so looking forward to it, looking forward to a great time. We got RFC 30 coming back, that's February 28th. That'll be a great weekend, RFC 30, February 28th on Friday night, and then I'll spend the entire next day out at the World Class Fight League and Art of Grappling, so it's going to be an awesome time that weekend. Like I said, no confirmations yet, but I'm pretty sure we're going to see the XFC return to Tampa in early 2014, so what we're going to do here is let's see what time we got. 10:57. All right, so we got a few minutes yet. We're going to be talking with Dennis Davidson, who's done the matchmaking and helped put together the fights for the Max FC 23 show that's going to be here in Florida on February 1st. We're going to talk with him at about probably in about 5 to 10 minutes. What we're going to do real quick, we're going to talk with him in about 5 minutes. What we're going to do right now, we're going to run a song. Real quick, sit back, relax for a couple minutes, and then we'll begin to go live with Dennis Davidson. So here we go. Enjoy. Let's see. What do we want to have the zombies enjoy? Looking through here. You got any ideas, man? I don't know. How about some Blindside? I'm in the mood for some Blindside. Here we go. We'll be right back.
Alrighty, folks, that was a little Blind Side for you. Great band. Matthew and I both enjoy that band. Alrighty, I know we've talked a lot about Florida MMA. I know we've talked about a lot of XFC news and stuff. But time for a little Ohio MMA. We have two big fight cards coming up. I will be at both of them. Busy, not as busy as Matthew, though. We have IT Fight Series 24 in Bell Fountain, Ohio on January 25th. And on February 8th, we have UBC 27, You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, starting with IT Fight Series. We have a main event that features the ladies. It's going to be between Christina Adams and Jade Sheely. Once again, I will be covering that fight. You can catch the results on MMAMadhouse.com or Cage Zombies Radio. They will be posted to both. And then also UBC 27, that's the second fight card that I will be covering. The main event featuring one UFC vet, one tough vet. Rumor has it that winner of this gets signed to the UFC. I don't know about that. Can't confirm it. But all I know is these two are hell of fighters. Luigi Fioravanti and Luke Zachridge, that'll be one to look out for. And then the co-main event is Mark Kofor and Marcus Finch. Finch coming off that great fight with Zachridge at one of the past UBC events. So that's the rundown for Ohio MMA. As Matthew mentioned earlier, World Series of Fighting 8 coming up. A couple fights he didn't mention, Cody Bollinger versus Tyson Nam. Great fight, Bollinger coming off the Ultimate Fighter. Nam, if you haven't seen his fights, guy's striking is legit. He has a complete game. He has a complete, I believe Matthew's back. Matthew, you ready?
Yes, sir, man. We're ready to go. We bring Dennis Davidson in with us, matchmaker for Max FC 23. So, Dennis, how are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing well this evening. How are you, sir?
Doing pretty good. Now, let's talk about how you got hooked up with doing the matchmaking for Max FC.
I started, actually, I am a fighter myself, although I'm no longer fighting actively. I met Anthony Rivera's brother, who is the promoter and owner of the production. His brother, Andy, is a very, very talented boxing coach, and I've worked with him before, and we developed a friendship through that, and that based on the fact that I've been around the block a few times, and I know, a lot of professional fighters from various camps. You know, it kind of just fit at the time, and we took it, and we've been running with it.
Right on. Now when they first the Max FC, tell us a little bit for people who maybe not too familiar
sure.
with it. I'm slightly familiar with Max FC. I know they're pretty huge in Puerto Rico.
Yeah,
what went into their decisions to kind of want to come here and give Florida a shot?
Well, essentially, they've put on 21 successful and very exciting professional shows in Puerto Rico, syndicated through DirecTV all over Latin America. And, occasionally they fly Florida fighters in to, mix it up with the Puerto Rican guys and, the people that are training over there in Puerto Rico and fighting out of San Juan, et cetera. And they realize that there's a tremendous amount of talent here in Florida, as we all know, based on the population density of Brazilians, doesn't hurt. Everyone here is a pretty tight ground game and such. And they figured if they're going to bring it to the States and they plan on making a series of cards here in Florida, that this would be the best place to do it, to gain access to and showcase some of the local talent that's developed here.
Right on, man. Now, you mentioned there that you've been around the block a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about your history in MMA and kind of how your roots down here for Florida.
Well, my family came down to Florida back in the 80s. I'm originally from Long Island, New York. I've been a martial artist my whole life. Got a black belt in karate at 18. I'm almost 45 now. Traveling around, I fell in love with MMA like most of us did. A couple of my first fights were still when it was called NHB, not MMA as it is now. I ran into Team Hensel Gracie under the Serra brothers, where I started training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which has become my love and passion over the last 10 years. I've trained at a bunch of different camps all over the country. I got to meet a lot of interesting people and get choked out by some of them. And, ever since then, I've pretty much been in it. I've been coaching Jiu-Jitsu for quite some time now. I've produced a few very talented professional fighters that are fighting in various organizations around the world. And, that's pretty much it.
Right on. All right, so let's jump into this fight card. Talk a little bit about what went into the fights you put together. You got some exciting names on this card, maybe some names
Absolutely.
That are slightly newer, but
sure.
Just go ahead, man. The floor is yours.
Well,
talk a little bit about the fight card.
Absolutely. You know, we have 11 bouts on this card. And essentially what I tried to do is get a mix of obviously some of the up-and-comers, some people who have already made a name for themselves. But we have a tremendous pool of very talented amateur fighters in Florida, you know, as a result of having, you know, obviously some extensively large and very talented coaching pools, you know, down at Coconut Creek and a lot of other places. And what we do have on this card are some amateurs making their pro debuts, guys that really made a statement in the amateur ranks, coming out 7-0, 10-1, you know, really showed that they are ready for the big show. So we are definitely have featuring a few of those matchups, which will turn out to be wars. In putting this card together, I kind of looked at it less from a promoter's point of view, which, you know, being a matchmaker associated with promotion, but more from a fighter kind of matchups that I think people would like to see. There are a few bouts on this card where guys' opponents definitely have some bad blood, some history. Obviously, I'm not going to air their beefs on the radio, but rest assured, there are some people on here that definitely have been looking forward to fight each other for some time. You know, additionally, I have some, we have some veterans on the card, guys that have fought in bigger shows as well. Obviously, one of the bouts that I'm very excited about is our co-main at 135 pounds between Susie Montero and Alana Jones. A lot of people have been talking about this fight. People are saying they wanted to see it for a while. You know, now we're going to get it done. And, you know, two very, very talented female fighters who have, you know, both had ups and downs, but they're ready to make a statement. I think I really think that's going to be a great fight. And again, you know, with all the talent, and I have to reach out and thank some of the major camps, American Top Team, Coconut Creek, among others, who've reached out and really, you know, allowed us to get access to some of their top talented guys that are coming up. You know, and we look forward to basically working with these camps to continue to showcase some of the best, you know, up and coming talent here in Florida.
Right on. Now, I know you guys have been working really close with Pete White Boxing, and I know
Absolutely. He's
got a couple of his guys on that fight card.
Sure.
I watched Kalen Holcomb fight at Breakthrough MMA just a couple months
back,
yeah. And that was a bloody disaster. What a great
that
fight, man.
War.
And Kalen announced then that he would be turning pro, so what do you guys have to do to get his pro debut on this fight card, and what can we expect to see from him?
Well, you know, I recently, I trained with Kalen a few weeks ago. We rolled a little bit, repped. He's a very talented guy. Big 140, 170, excuse me, at like 6'5", I think they list him in. You know, he's lanky, he's rangy. He finished 7-0, I believe, as an amateur. He's going up against, you know, another very talented fighter in Daniel Pettis, training down south, out of Gainesville. I think it's going to be a great match. You know, it's a good matchup as far as size and skill, and I really think that it's going to be a war. Kalen's a super nice guy. I don't know Daniel that well personally. Like I said, I have met and trained with Kalen. He's a stud, and like you were mentioning, that Breakthrough MMA show, that was a bloody war, and certainly was a great fight. So I'm definitely looking forward to see that fight as well.
Right, and now this fight card, Max FC 23, is going to feature the return to the cage of Andrew Whitney. What can we expect to see from him in that main event fight with Chino Duran?
Man, you know, I think this, is going to be an amazing fight. You know, after speaking with Andrew, you know, his return, somewhat of a layoff. I mean, the guy's a stud. Both these guys are studs. You know, we are a Latin promotion, obviously, based out of Puerto Rico. We like to get as many Latin fighters on the card as we can, assuming that the matchups, you know, dictate they're going to be great. You know, like I said, Andrew Whitney is a stud. Everybody knows that. I believe he's 9-2 currently. Looks like he's in great shape. He says he's healthy. You know, I know for a fact both of these guys are coming to bang. Chino Duran, from what I understand, has fought up and down a few weight classes. I do not believe he's ever lost at 135 pounds, but I'm not sure. That's not a confirmed fact, so I guess I won't really touch on that. I really think this main event is going to be amazing. I really think the co-main and the mains, both, you know, the whole card is set up to just be exciting right from the beginning, right from the very first round of the first fight, all the way through culminating in, you know, and what I think is going to be an amazing co-main. And, you know, I really think the Chino Duran, Andrew Whitney fight is looking to set up to be a war.
Right. Now, that co-main event, Susie Montero versus Alana Jones, hands of stone, she's a beast. She's fought down in Miami a couple times at CFA.
Sure.
Susie as well. Susie, you know, they're very similar records, similar fighters here. What can we expect to see from these two ladies when they go into the cage?
you know, speaking with their camps and you know, just briefly with both of them, they're both coming to fight, that's for sure. You know, both of these ladies, these women, have an opportunity to make a statement and thus kind of dictate where they fit, in, you know, as far as the rankings at 135 pounds. I mean, hands of stone, as we all know from seeing the fight footage, you know, that's no joke right there. That girl hits hard. I really think that, again, this is going to be a war. You know, both girls are healthy. They're both coming to fight. I know that for a fact. Both come from respectable camps, obviously. You know, I think it's going to be a great fight. I really hope, you know, February 1st, Daytona Ocean Center, get your tickets now, guys. You know, we're going to do a series of events, Max FC. But Max FC 23 is stacked to be fireworks right from the start and, you know, all the way through.
Yeah. Right on, man. Now, is it true? I heard a rumor possibly that Dreamcatcher Gene Belfort, did he have to pull out of his fight?
Yeah. Basically, we had to, you know, give Gene an opportunity in the future to rectify his pro-license situation. There is an issue with his license with the commission, and that's something that is going to preclude him from fighting on this card.
Okay. Now, have you been able to, or are you still working on finding a replacement to save that fight with Vinny?
I don't have a solid commitment yet, but I plan on saving the fight. My goal is to make sure that Vinny Pantaleone will be on this card. I've spoken with his camp. We want to obviously work out something that is going to be both fair fight for both guys and as well, you know, exciting for the fans, and that's my goal. I plan to hopefully have that wrapped up by, say, Monday at the latest.
Right on, man. Now, you personally, what of this entire fight card, what fight stands out the most to you and are you most excited to see?
Man, that's a good question. I'm looking at this fight card right now. You know, I know a lot of these guys. I've seen them fight. I've seen them train. A lot of these guys are studs, regardless of what their records are. You know, some of these guys are coming off a few losses, but you can't just examine, you know, somebody's record as a pro fighter. You have to take a look. You see a guy who's 0-5, and look who he fought. If the five guys he fought are ranked in the top 10, and then you see a guy who's 5-0 that's fought nobody's, you know. So there are some guys on this card I'm excited to see, but I have to say, I want to see Susie and Alana Bang. You know, that's really, I think, probably going to be the most exciting fight. You know, again, Kalen Holcomb, like we touched on, the guy's a stud. I know he's going to come out firing. A lot of really great camps being represented on this card. You know, some of the top camps, not only in Florida, but in the country, have sent guys here that are all looking to, you know, either come off their amateur debut or their pro debut and make a statement or continue the momentum that they've already gained. But I'm going with Susie and Alana for that.
Right on, man, right on. I'm a big fan. We do an annual, kind of like a monthly ladies' night here. We're both big fans of women's MMA. Glad to see a ladies' fight on this card, and glad to see two fighters with the records and the fan bases of Susie and Alana. I know both have big followings, and should be a great fight, man. Should be a great night of fights. Where can people go for ticket information? Where can they buy tickets, and how can they find out all the information about this fight card?
Okay, a lot of different places that you can go. Ticketmaster has tickets on sale already for various, you know, various seating arrangements, depending on what you're looking to do. Try to get your tickets as early as possible. For those of you that know fighters that are fighting on these cards, their camps should have tickets for you to purchase. Hopefully by next Wednesday, they'll be in the schools everywhere. Other than that, you know, Max FC, you can either check out Facebook, or the flyer should be out. You know, there's a lot of hype going around about this card. You know, Anthony Rivera, the promoter in Puerto Rico, puts on what he likes to call Vegas-style shows, and what that means is, you know, we've got the hottest ring girls, we got good side shows, we got, you know, possibly, from what I understand, some of the best in the business coming to cover this and put it on television. It's going to be a great event. Ticketmaster has them on sale right now. Get your tickets as soon as you can, because this thing's going to fill up and there's going to be some fireworks on February 1st.
All right, man. Well, listen, Dennis, thank you very much for joining us tonight. Thank you for
My
talking
pleasure.
About the fight card. Looking forward
me.
To it, man. And I know I plan on being there, and I hope that I hope that people are listening, because it's going to be a great fight card. Max FC has
Absolutely.
A huge following, and we'll be looking forward to that. February 1st, Ocean Center, Daytona Beach, Florida. And if you haven't been to the Ocean Center before, people out there, man, it is a phenomenal place. It's a beautiful center. Breakthrough MMA puts on their fight cards there. And I do believe Breakthrough MMA has teamed up and kind of partnered with Max FC in order to give their top standouts from Breakthrough the possibilities to fight in the Max FC cage.
Absolutely. That is correct.
Right on, man. Well, listen, thanks again for joining us, Dennis. We'll
My pleasure.
Look forward
thanks
to
for
seeing
me.
You out there on February 1st, man.
All right, Matthew, take care.
Hey, you take it easy, dude. Right on, man. That's Dennis Davidson. He's the matchmaker for Max FC 23. It's going to be a great night of fights, and just can't wait, man. It's in a long line of events over the next 2 months down here in Florida, and if you haven't taken a look at the Florida events, get out there and find out, man. I'm going to jump right into it, man. This weekend, we got AFC MMA at the All Sports Arena, Port Richey, Florida. It's going to be Saturday night. I believe the fights kick off at 7 p.m. I usually cover those AFC events. I've been at all of them before. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to be at this one because I will be in St. Petersburg, Florida, and at the Palavan Promotions Amateur Fight Night 21, a mixture of MMA and kickboxing. So looking forward to being out there. And, you know, the guys out there, Ali Tara and Adam Robinson, kind of the guy working the media, the marketing stuff for Ali. Ali's been putting these fights on quite a while at Palavan Promotions and just kind of didn't have anybody doing the marketing, the media work, and brought in Adam, who's a good friend of his, and me and Adam talked a little bit at the last event and kind of talked a little bit about what, you know, getting the networking going, getting the marketing going, kind of get it out there. You know, it's simple stuff like starting an event page on Facebook. It doesn't seem like much, but it really is. It really is a big thing. It really is a way to market, to get your name out there, your promotion out there. And it's going to be a good night of fights. Those fights are going to kick off at 5 p.m., and they are going to be held at the prestigious Vannoy Renaissance Hotel in St. Petersburg, Florida. It's a phenomenal location down there at the Vannoy, very beautiful place right on the beach, right on the out by the pier in downtown St. Pete. So I'll be there at that fight night. Let's see. Next week, January 18th, of course, we have World Series of Fighting 8. That's going to be at Hollywood, Florida, I believe at the Hard Rock Seminole Hotel and Casino. It's going to be a great night of fights. Let's see, Wednesday night, January 15th, Extreme Fight Night 2. That's put on by Daniel Kay out in, I'm drawing a blank, but if you give me 2 seconds, I'm going to pull it up here. Go ahead and sing in the meantime there, Spencer.
Oh, man.
I'm kidding. Don't sing. Please, dear God, don't sing.
I would not do that. Whoever is listening will not be listening after I'm done. That's not happening.
Extreme Fight Night 2 is taking place down in Miami Gardens, and that's going to be January 15th, Wednesday night. Main event there is Charles Moreland versus Romeo Valdez. That's a big fight. Going to be a heavyweight battle. This is going to be the second event from Extreme Fight Night. The first event was a major success. I wish I could be down there, but I'm at school. I'm at college Mondays and Wednesdays. There's just really no way for me to make it down there. You know, it's about a five-hour drive. So we will have coverage of that. You know, we won't be able to do live results, unfortunately, but we will get the results up from Extreme Fight Night 2. And I wish all the best to Daniel K, man, and his promotion out there. He did a great job with the first event, got a lot of great supporters and a really good track record. A lot of people are on board with Daniel, and a lot of people support him really good. So that's coming up in the next week or so down here in Florida. I don't know that there's much else going on. Let me just double-check real quick. There is a Warrior Challenge event going on in Port St. Lucie. Not really an MMA event, but it's kind of like a fitness performance event. It's being put on by Phil Bam Bam DeRue, a pro MMA fighter here in the area. And it's going to be a cool event if you're down in that area. Kind of go out, you know. Like I said, it's more of a performance, a fitness event type deal at the school at DeRue Fitness Performance in Port St. Lucie. So go check it out. You know, Phil Bam Bam DeRue is a really awesome pro fighter here in Florida. Saw him fight most recently at RFC 29, I believe. I believe he got a win on that night, too. He did. That is correct. So, yeah, man, just go check out that event if you're in that area. You know, if you're not around any MMA events, check that out. It's going to be pretty cool. So, yeah, man, I think that's all I got for this week on local events. You covered your local events. Spencer right now is popping a chubby over the bands that have been announced for the Warped Tour lineup so far.
That is very true. Less graphic, very true. Matthew and I share a love for MMA and music. We're brothers.
We do for the most part, man.
By five states.
me and my friend here, we do have some very similar interests in music. It's kind of cool, you know. I feel like it's like fate, man. It's like destiny that we find each other here on Cage Zombies Radio. no homo or nothing, but you know.
we'll keep it PG for now. Let's not get into all that.
You know, I messaged you the other day. I texted you the other day, and I think you responded. I was at school, so I don't remember if you responded or not. But I was listening, you know, and I've listened to. You know, this is an MMA show, but what the hell, you know, it's our show. We can kick back and talk music here for a minute or two. Music's a huge part of MMA anyway, so I just happened to be listening to In the Moment's new CD the other day. In This Moment, their new CD, I think it's called Blood. I've listened to a little bit of their stuff in the past, but never listened to much of it, but I was listening to this CD the other day, man. It's sick. It's so good.
I'll have to give it a second try then, because I kind of skimmed over them. It wasn't anything that impressed me. It wasn't anything that I didn't like, though. I'll have to give it another try if you're saying that.
It's good, man. It's not like, you know, it's not amazing music. It's not like, you know, best stuff out there, but it's a pretty phenomenal CD, man. I'm all about, you know, it's no secret. We love women's MMA. We're big fans over here. We got a lot of lady fighters that we're big supporters of. Talking with Rachel Cummins this week, by the way. Hopefully getting her on the show in the next week or so. That'd be great. Big fan of Rachel. And talking with also Brianna Armstrong, pretty much the leading lady in MMA reporting, just pretty much the best out there. Talking with her this past week as well. And hopefully we'll see her on the show here very soon. She recently won the GFL award for top MMA reporter of the year, beating out our very own Skippy Cohen by just a little bit. And so that's just congrats to her, and congrats to Skippy, man. Skippy being up there. You know, the GFL awards were including all of MMA. They were for everybody involved in MMA, and there was top names all across the board, all across the sport, included in those award categories. And first of all, for us, for MMA Madhouse to win Best Website of the Year, dude, it's just phenomenal, man. That's awesome. We were up against Sure Dork, Underground, BJ Penn, Bloody Elbow. We were up against the top websites in the sport. And MMA Madhouse came out on top because we have phenomenal fans, we have a phenomenal following, and we have a phenomenal team, which is all because of the hard work and the dedication to the craft that we've seen Carl Mortensen and Skippy Cohen put in. And fortunately for, you know, guys like us, little peons here at the bottom, we've been able to be part of this and kind of, you know, at the end of the day, I hope that I'm just have been able to contribute and help out in the least bit to MMA Madhouse. You know, one day when I leave Madhouse, you know, down the road, down the line somewhere, I just want to be able to say that, you know, when I leave Madhouse, it's better than when I started, you know, that I was able to contribute something to the website, that I could even if it's just a micro spec of something, just that I could contribute something to the website and be part of such a great team. It's going to be something I carry with me for the rest of my life, man. It's my first experience as well as I think it might be yours. I'm not sure, but it's my first experience as far as true reporting and journalism goes, covering live events and being part of a great community, man. You know, I've learned that the MMA community far exceeds any other sports community, and it's just been awesome, man. So it's cool to be part of this website when it's making such great leaps and bounds forward in the sport, and we got great leadership. You know, Carl and Skippy do a great job, and I just think that it's awesome that Skippy came in second to Brianna, and looking forward to possibly talking with her here in the coming weeks. I've talked with her recently, and she'd like to be part of the show, come on the show here, and really love to pick her brain about how she got started in it. And, you know, she does so much for MMA. She does so much contributing, so much editing. And she's really got her hands in all over the sport. And just would love to talk with her, pick her brain, and kind of find out a little bit about how she got started.
Yeah, man. And I don't know how you got from In This Moment to this.
I don't know, dude. I rabbit trail the hell out of things. But anyways, my point is, you got to check out that In This Moment CD. It's phenomenal stuff. You know, we play... We like to kind of play music here on the show that's catered around towards the stuff that we like. You know, we play a lot of A Day to Remember. We're both pretty big fans of them.
we play a lot of hardcore, a lot of screaming stuff because it's kind of the stuff we're into. You know, I've my music, my musical selections over. If I look back like 10 years, what I was listening to when I was 17, I'd be ashamed of myself for what I've, you know, what I'm kind of into now. There's some bands that have kind of transcended with me as I've grown up, but I listen to a lot of music throughout my life. Music is probably second importance next to sports to me and to the person I am. So I love music as almost as much as I love sports, man. So we try to incorporate a lot of different stuff into our show here, but it kind of tends to be a lot of the same stuff. We play a lot of A Day to Remember. We've been playing some Rob Zombie. I wish there was more zombie music out there, you know, since we're zombie cage zombies here, but ultimately, you know, we should probably start incorporating more stuff, man. Maybe I'll add some In This Moment songs to the studio for next week, and we'll hear a little bit about what that CD has to offer.
Sounds like a plan, Matthew. Sounds like a plan. But as you were saying with Carl and Skippy and us starting off with MMA Madhouse, yes, I too am starting with them. I like to think the same as you, that we're taking away all this stuff, and I know I already have, and I know you have already taken such away. It's a great team.
Absolutely. I just, you know, like, how badass would it be, man? You know, 10 years from now, people are like, when they're turning on their Access TV or their ESPN or whatever it is, the leading MMA talk show is Pablo Diablo and Matthew Big Mouth Gaither. How cool would that be? Everybody would call me the mouse.
The mouse.
Anyways.
Matthew, the mouse.
Hey, we're just the little boys of Madhouse, right? What do we know?
The toddlers.
We're the toddlers. We're the infants. We're not even toddlers, man. We're the newborn babies in Madhouse. Man, I like to stir stuff up. Anyways, man. So yeah, we've been talking. Let's see. Where do we want to go? I want to talk a little bit about this article about Corey Hill that I came across a couple days ago. You know, recently Anderson Silva obviously snapped his leg in his second fight with Chris Weidman, and big news, you know, it really only the second time that I can think of in MMA on such a large scene that something like that's happened. You know, I can think back and there's arm breaks, there's different stuff. I think, you know, thinking Pride, you know, Sakuraba broke some arms there. He broke, if I'm not mistaken, he broke Hoyler's. And he nearly broke Henzo's, or he broke Henzo's and nearly broke Hoyler's. It's one of the two of those. We've seen arm breaks. You know, obviously, Frank Mir has a few arm breaks on his on his resume. You see that every now and then because there's a lot of submission involved in that, submission work involved in that, and you got people when they don't want to tap. I think the most notable arm break recently was Frank Mir over Nogueira, where he snapped it, just straight snapped it. It was probably one of the coolest things I've ever seen. But when it comes to leg breaks, there's not a lot of it. I can't think of too many. I can think of two. If I were to research it, I could probably find more back in the Pride days and other you know, big promotions. But never anything in as big of an important of a fight as the Silva Weidman rematch. And for that fight to end like that, it kind of sent shockwaves across the sport. You saw kind of an outbreak of fighters saying, "Wow, really going to work on my kicks. Going to work on my legs," you know, a lot of that stuff, and it's part of the sport. You know, we don't see it very often, but it is part of the sport. And there was a lot of outreach towards Corey Hill, who most people associate Corey Hill with his leg being snapped, which is very unfortunate because Corey's a great fighter. Corey's an even better person. I know Corey personally and have for years, and I just love this guy. One of my favorite people in the sport, The average Zuffa zombie associates Corey Hill with breaking his leg at UFC Fight Night against, I think it was Dale Hart, you know, five years ago, something like that, I think it was, in 2008. So, yeah, about just over 5 years ago. And it's unfortunate because Corey Hill, you know, he's had a 6-6 record, I believe, right now in his MMA career. He's had some tough breaks. He's fought some good fights. And just come up on the short end a couple times, but he keeps pressing forward. He never stops working. He's a great guy. as I say over and over and over again. But there's this article put out recently. I say all that to finally get to my point here. But there was this article put out this week by TBO, the Tampa Tribune. TBO is the Tampa Tribune online. It's called, the article's titled, MMA Fighter Ready for Comeback on Big Stage. Now, obviously, you know, that's the, you know, Corey Hill working to get back to the UFC. You know, he was on The Ultimate Fighter, fought once outside of The Ultimate Fighter season, and that was when he snapped his leg for the UFC. Fought a few times for the XFC, still on contract with the XFC, which as far as I'm concerned, I know every fighter's goal is to get to the UFC, because the UFC is the number one in the world. I get it. I wish that fighters would open up their mindset, open up their eyes, and kind of see that while, yes, the UFC is still the biggest name in the sport, there's other promotions out there that are well worthy of being the goal. You know, World Series of Fighting, XFC, Bellator, there's great promotions out there. You know, you've got a Legacy, you've got Maximum, MFC, who's got a show coming up just next week, I believe. So you've got these great shows that are out there, and there's more than just the UFC, you know. But this article, I'm saying all this, and I'm not even getting to my point here. This article, I really thought was poorly written. I really thought that it didn't kind of portray Corey in the best light. It just the grammar wasn't great. It wasn't greatly written, and I think it really could have focused more on Corey than talking about, you know, it mentions the Silva leg break. It talks about, you know, people contacting Corey after that, stuff like that, you know. And it's just kind of like, you know what, this guy deserves to have an article written about himself. He deserves to have a true feature piece written on him and not his reaction on somebody else breaking their leg. You know, Corey's got a great to offer the sport, and he's making a big comeback. He's got a fight coming up here January 24th in Pennsylvania. And then based on that fight, Corey could be looking to get on the XFC card, which is going to most likely be here in Tampa. We've talked about it throughout the night. There's no confirmation on a date, but it does look like the XFC is going to start off 2014 in Tampa, Florida. And depending on how that fight goes on January 24th in Pennsylvania, Corey could find himself on that card in Tampa, Florida. So I don't really know that I had a point. I kind of like rabbit trailed all over the place. My point is, I don't know. It hurt. It bothered me to read that article. I really thought that article could have been better written, and from many different standpoints, especially grammatically.
Yeah, Matthew,
did not find it.
Matthew sent the article to me before we came on tonight. I skimmed through it a little bit, and I came to the same conclusion. Corey Hill is a great fighter. I've only seen him fight two or three times. One of those times being in the XFC. I'd love to see him back in the XFC cage. I think he fits good with the promotion. It's a great promotion.
Yes, sir.
I know his leg break was brought back up because of the Silva leg break, so I understand that. But as you said, there's so much more to him. And people don't seem to realize that these fighters actually are people, too. As you said, he's a great fighter, even better person. So it's a shame that they have to focus in on that.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I agree. It, you know, but it's Zufa Zombies, man. Here's the thing. Here's what it is, ultimately. It's somebody who doesn't know enough about the sport to write an appropriate article of somebody in the sport. This was probably somebody who was just assigned to it. Say, hey, here's a local guy. Go out, write this article on him, come back, and I, you know, have something about this and that, blah, 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 whatever it is. Not somebody who really truly knows enough about the sport to write a decent article. I mean, that's my opinion on it.
Yeah, that's most likely the case. It's unfortunate, but it's getting better. There's still those people out there.
It is, man. This sport's still very young. Got a lot of ways to go, and really, the first like true great generation of MMA journalists and stuff are still young and still kind of rising up, and I like to think that me and you were part of that generation. So I know there's well established people out there, but let's be honest, man. When I turn on the MMA events, the UFC events on Fox Sports, whatever it is, I don't like to see James Brown or whatever it is, whoever I forget his name, the Fox football guy calling MMA fights. He doesn't know what he's talking about, man. He doesn't know what he's calling. They need somebody true out there. Look, you know what they do is they take somebody who's well-known, and then they put, you know, Chael Sonnen and Daniel Cormier next to him, or Chael and Brian Stann, or it seems to always be Chael because Chael's always got something to say. But I actually personally, okay. I love listening to Chael, though. But they need
good marketing.
Chael is phenomenal in marketing, man. If that guy, when that guy's retired, any promotion, somebody needs to put that guy on their media, their marketing team. That dude can sell. Let's put it this way. He talked himself into 3 straight title fights or whatever. Lost them all, but somehow kept getting those title fights.
And it drew numbers too. It drew people in to watch it.
It did. It drew
so
big numbers because the guy can sell. The guy, dude's a good fighter, no doubt. But he did just get his ass beat by Rashad Evans at 167, though.
Oh yeah, that was pretty bad. And speaking of the UFC and all these fights and stuff, what do you think of the new digital network? The UFC aired Ultimate Fight Night 34, which was in Singapore, between Safadine and Leem, on their digital network, and I did not watch it. I think it's a dumb idea. I get what they're going at. I get what they're trying to do. It's getting to the point where it's too much now. And, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the sport. I watch a ton of UFC events. But with the UFC events, I always watch at least 2 times the amount of other events to kind of balance it out. But I think with this digital network, it's getting to be a little too much, and I'm kind of getting sick of it.
Here's the thing. I do agree. I think that I think the UFC is kind of watering down their product. They're flooding it. There's so many other good promotions out there that have big names on their rosters now. You know, you talk World Series of Fighting, it's got huge names on their roster. Bellator, obviously. The thing with Bellator is Bellator has brought up and bred their own fighters and made them household names, as well as going out and signing some big names, as you know, on top of that.
Which is exactly what the XFC is doing right now.
You're exactly right. And the XFC is growing rapidly because they're starting to get their fighters' names out there. You got people, you know, you bring up, you know, a year ago, if you would have said Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman, the true hardcore MMA fans would know him. Well, you talk about Hot Sauce Holtzman now, lots of people are going to know who he is. A lot more people are following the XFC and seeing what they're doing. They're about to go international,
oh, yeah.
Which is only,
yeah,
you know.
I saw pictures of him, actually kind of ironic, the other week I saw a picture of him signing an autograph in the airport. Somebody just randomly
you're
came
exactly
up to
right.
him.
Now, with that said, I don't know much about this Fight Pass digital network. I'm actually kind of – so I don't want to say too much on it because I'm not too educated on what's going on here. But I do see that for $10 a month, which $10 a month kind of – you know, you're talking about $120 a year. That's a bit ridiculous in my opinion, but you get the entirety of the Zuffa Video Vault as well that you can go and watch. Now, to me, that's kind of cool. Now, you know, I'm not a Zuffa zombie. I'm a K-zombie. We know that here. But you think about what falls under the Zuffa Video Vault. Pride, WEC, Strikeforce, as well as UFC. There's another promotion or two out there that I know the UFC bought out the rights to and stuff. So what it looks like to me, the entirety of the Zuffa Video Vault means you're going to be able to watch anything and everything that falls under or has fallen under or has been absorbed by Zuffa. So that, to me,
is kind of cool. I completely agree with you on that. I completely agree with watching Pride fights. I could watch those all day. What I'm saying is I think it's a bit ridiculous that I have to pay now for an Ultimate Fight Night 34,
yeah,
which I would
normally
be able to see free on TV. I skipped it. I had to skip it. I heard the main event was good between Safadine and Leem. I heard Kawajiri looked good. But other than that, I was fine. I passed on it.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I think it's wrong that they're going to be wanting people to freaking pay for the fight cards that we would see live on, you know, what used to be live on Spike. Well, now it's live on Fox Sports 1, that stuff like that. That's crap. That's definite crap. And, you know, what's actually funny is I believe the the WWE announced the same thing this past week, where they're announced they're launching a digital network where you can go and watch all of their old stuff and see all of their stuff. And as far as I know, if I'm not mistaken, it kind of trumped the UFC digital network. It was a bigger splash, a bigger, more fan following for the WWE network.
Oh, I'm not surprised. That doesn't surprise me. I don't know. I just feel like it's watered, like you said, it's getting watered down.
Yeah, the UFC is definitely watering down their product. That's crap. You know, I'm not going to be paying to watch a UFC fight night. You know, I'd rather pay, you know, rather than paying to see a UFC fight night, I'd rather pay to see an XFC or an MFC or whatever like that, you know, which Invicta, whatever it is, I'd rather go out and pay that, because I just don't think it's right, man. UFC fight nights are supposed to be free events that you see on cable TV, and that's why they struck this deal with Fox Sports, as far as I knew, was so that their fight nights and their different events, their smaller events, were free for us to watch on cable, so that when they have the UFC main cards come around and we got to pay, you know, you got to pay $60 to watch those on pay-per-view.
Yeah, exactly. And the only thing I will say about the fight card is I'm happy Kawajiri is in the UFC. I've loved watching him fight over the years, fighting over in Japan, of course, legend over there, has a great record, 33-7, fighting for ONE FC and Dream, K1, all those great promotions back then, Shudo, Pride, he's been around.
Hell yes, my friend, hell yes. So Bellator announced this week their first event of 2014. I believe that's going to take place March 7th in Thackerville, Oklahoma. So looking forward to see Bellator coming back. What do you think of this? And I think we'll go ahead and probably say our goodbyes, wrap up in the next couple minutes. But what do you think about this challenge that the World Series of Fighting issued to Bellator?
Oh, man, I was talking about this all the other day. I don't have the matchups in front of me, but I would pay two times the amount of a UFC pay-per-view to watch that. Those matchups were crazy. I'm hoping they say yes. I know they won't. If they do agree to it, it won't be all of those fights. But I honestly think it would be split down the middle. One side would win five or six fights. The other side would win five or four.
Right. So you're looking. Let's see here. Let's see, Tyrone Spong versus Rampage Jackson. That would be nasty. Rumble Johnson versus Attila Vague. Andre Arlovsky versus Zlatan Minkov. Marlon Moraes versus Eduardo Dantas. Yushin Okami versus Alexander Shlemenko. Rusamir Paul Harris versus Douglas Lima. That'd be a nasty fight. I'd love to see Douglas Lima knock Paul Harris out. See if Paul Harris is able to continue after the bell rings after that one. you like that. Gaethje G versus Michael Chandler. Georgie Karakhanian versus Daniel Strauss. John Fitch versus Rick Hahn. And David Branch versus Brett Cooper. That's pretty darn well thought out by the World Series of Fighting. Put that fight card together. That'd be a pretty sick fight card, man.
Yeah, and all of those are good matchups. It's not like one's going to dominate the other. There's only maybe one or two where I see that it's kind of unfair. But, yeah, I would love to see that. It would be great. I know not all those fights would fall through, or not all of them would go through. I know some would fall off of the card. But even if six or seven of those went through and then they added three more, that would be great to watch.
You know, it's just as Ali said today on the conference call, the sport is about people helping each other out, working together. If everyone's is out to get each other and trying to compete and run each other out of business, that's just bad for the sport. That's not going to do anything good. So, you know, this would be cool to see. If something like this were to happen, Bellator and World Series of Fighting would be the proper promotions to do it. sure as hell bet the UFC would never do anything like this. So, I don't know, man. I'd love to see it. I think it'd be pretty sick.
Yeah, we'll see. As of now, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe that Bellator has answered this at all.
No, they have not responded to it whatsoever. Check this out, man. Upcoming title fights from Bellator. You got Michael Chandler versus Eddie Alvarez. That's going to be a pretty sick fight. You got Chet Congo versus Vitaly Minnikov. Rafael Silva versus Eduardo Dantas, and Emmanuel Newton versus Attila Vague. And I want to see Emmanuel Newton smash Attila Vague. He got robbed in the last fight with that split decision crap. I want to see him rock him. Truly knock him out.
Newton and Flamenco are my two favorite Bellator fighters.
I thought your favorite guy was Joe Warren.
Yeah, Joe Warren and Doug Marshall. Those are the two that are on the opposite end of the spectrum. But no, Newton, the hardcore kid, beating, I can't even think of his name, King Muhammad Lawal. Beating him
King
twice. That alone made me a fan of Newton, even though I had seen him fight a couple times before in the MFC and kind of all over the place. But he found a home in Bellator, and I think he's going to beat Attila this next time around.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, if you got nothing else, I got nothing else. I think we can probably go ahead and wrap up for the night.
I am all out of words to say, I guess.
I've never been at that point in my life yet, so. We're probably sitting here talking about ourselves anyways. I doubt anybody's listening to us. It's whatever. Zombie Nation, we'll talk whether or not people are listening or not, so it's all good. Listen, thank you to our guests for being with us tonight. Obviously, Bobby Badmother Tucker, Dom O'Grady. Dom, I hate you so much, O'Grady. And, of course, Dennis Davidson coming on and talking to us about the Max SC23 fight card coming up here. Listen, K-Zombies Radio is the name we go by. We definitely don't think we're the best out there. We just come at you every week. We just want to bring the best MMA coverage we can, do the best that we can, and try and present good guests, good talk show, and just sit back, relax, and have a good time, you know. So we hope that you enjoy it. You know, we appreciate we picked up about 30 new likes on the Facebook page in the last couple of days. Definitely thank you to everybody out there that's kind of supporting us and sharing our page and letting people know about us. If you are, we definitely appreciate that. We got much love for all of our fans and everybody who likes the page. We have a great time doing this. Spencer, I had the best time just sitting back and chilling with you week after week, man, talking some awesome stuff here. You know, MMA is an awesome sport. There is no end to the greatness of this sport, and it's only just begun. The sport's only 20 years old. You think about how – let's put it this way, man. You think about the NFL. You think about professional football. Professional football has been established for 100 years. You know, baseball, well over 100 years. Basketball, for 80, 90 years. These sports that are at the top that have become worldwide, you know, the NBA is within the last 2 years, has really started to kind of expand and become worldwide. Professional football, while it has picked up followings throughout the world, still kind of remains mainly an American sport, but that's fine with me because I think professional football is the best there is. But, you know, MMA is 20 years old, dude, and you think of how big it is in those 20 years. And now, granted, before MMA there was NHB and there was cage fighting, but true MMA has been established for about 20 years, 21, 22 years. And this sport has just barely begun, dude. There's just so many great things to come from MMA. And we're just seeing the beginning. We're just seeing the first true generation of all-around mixed martial arts fighters haven't even graced the stages yet. They haven't even gotten to the cages yet. They're kids. They're teenagers. Give it within the next 5 to 10 years, and you're going to see the first true generations of all-around mixed martial arts fighters coming into the cage, and it's going to go to a whole nother level that nobody around here could have ever imagined. And I may not be somebody of any grand importance for the sport, but I believe that wholeheartedly, and I swear, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I will be sitting back laughing that I was so right about that. And I will look you up, Pablo Diablo. I will find you in the slums of Ohio, and I will say, I told you so. Now let's go rock this on the best MMA show anywhere on the planet. And, you know, then we'll get denied. We'll have restraining orders put against us. But, you know, we'll get banned from every show everywhere, but it's all right. We'll run an MMA talk show out of a box in a ditch. It doesn't matter.
Sounds like a plan to me.
All right, man. So listen, dude, that's it for us this week. Thank you again to all of our guests. Thank you to all of our sponsors. You want to head over to the our Facebook page, Cage Zombies Radio. Like it first. Follow along. See what we got going on throughout the week. You know, we try and share and support a lot of stuff. But check out our sponsors. We got great sponsors here at the show. We got great sponsors at MMA Madhouse, and check them all out. If you like the way the website looks, MMA Madhouse had a pretty big remodeling lately, and that is to the great help of Jax Media Canada. They are the best out there. If you're looking for website design, logo designs, anything like that, anything internet-based, anything graphics-based, check out Jax Media Canada. We have a lot of great sponsors here at the show. I'm sick of hearing my own voice, so I'm going to shut up. That's it for Cage Zombies Radio. We'll be back with you guys next Thursday. Thank you for joining us. Pablo Diablo, you're the man, and we'll see you guys next week.
螳螂拳，你见识过螳螂拳只有一型，让你见识见识少林的十型拳。一样是少林学艺，东院的师傅是怎么教你？一年多没见，怎么一点长进都没有？
Now wash that smut off your face.
No.